Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today, we have a guest, Chuck Reynolds. Chuck is the founder and chief technology officer for Technical Systems Integrator, and they are a value-added reseller of leading-edge technology. So he, along with his work, has been doing some really neat things with public-private partnerships and the National Guard, some universities. So Chuck, welcome today. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity to chat with you today.
Definitely.
I really like what you do and the service that you're providing to your market and the folks in Colorado, and we look forward to working with you in the future as well.
Well, thank you, and we definitely hope we're making an impact and bringing some insight in a cyber market to that it's not all mysterious, something we can all get involved with. But Chuck, tell us about yourself. I mean, we all in cybersecurity and us technical experts, a lot of times we've just been there forever, but we didn't start out that way. Tell us what brought you this direction and what something about you that's unique.
Well, I've always been a technologist ever since I was a little kid, and I got this magazine called Science News that came once a week, and I just waited patiently for the mailman to deliver that, and then I just ate it up. So I've always been that technology guy. I spend a lot of time, much to my wife's chagrin, surfing the internet. Hey, honey, did you see this cool new thing? Did you see this new cool thing? Which bores her to death, of course. But anyway, I'm very much a guy that gets involved in technology, TED Talks. I do local high school STEM-based talks where I talk about new technology and fields to get into. I'm a soccer coach on the side. I got two excellent boys that have been launched and gone into high tech, so I get to talk to them on a daily basis about high tech. It's pretty cool as a father to be able to have the opportunity to engage with your kids after they have launched as well. Happily married, living in Florida, building a new house.
Florida.
That's living, probably it.
Living the dream, huh? Do you are you close to the beach?
Well, we downsized and we almost moved to the beach, but we came to our senses and realized that I didn't want to live at the quiet beach and deal with people walking by all the time. So we moved to we're on the Wakaiva National Preserve, about 600,000 acres of woodlands with alligators and bears and deer and turkeys and Lord knows what else out in our backyard. So it's quite interesting every morning to wake up and see what's out there.
Oh, interesting. That is neat. I lived down there for a while, a couple times in my life, but spent 2 or 3 years living right on the beach. I loved it.
It is nice to go visit, and we spend a lot of time at the beach, don't get me wrong. We're only 40 minutes away, so it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us about what it is that you do in the cybersecurity arena.
So we have been bringing to market over the past few years some new revolutionary tools that are used in industry and service provider, network equipment manufacturers, and what have you, and that have been deployed and used within some DoD cyber ranges and some universities, and combining these technologies into a self-service offering for providing basically cyber ranges and clouds as a service, as a file, to facilitate rapid adoption of infrastructure and building infrastructure and deploying infrastructure for people within the cyber community. This is one of our initiatives. We're also doing this in the telecom space for network function virtualization, network function infrastructure, virtualized customer premise equipment. So we're attacking several different markets, but they're all using the same tool and leveraging the same type of technology. The idea is to get people to be able to do, and specifically in cyber, to spin up a cyber exercise, to spin up a cyber range, a cyber training environment in seconds, deploy it, use it, understand it, and be able to manipulate it from a lifecycle management perspective so that IT people, admin people, and end users can consume it, use it, and then, of course, lastly, but deliver it in such a way so it's inexpensive, so it can be hyper-converged and utilize the resources underneath a cyber range, a virtual cyber range, more efficiently.
Okay, well, hold that thought. We're going to come back in a couple minutes.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Okay, welcome back. We are talking with Chuck Reynolds, the founder and CTO of Technical Systems Integrators, and they were talking about a cyber range that you guys have created. So tell me about what this is. It sounds to me like it's in the training, working with education, companies training new people in cybersecurity. What does it do, and why, you know, for the first part, why would you put something like this together?
So we don't actually offer the cyber range, although we may be starting to do that in the future as a service. You know, you get into the X as a service, basically anything as a service. I think you're going to see a lot of interesting things happen in the managed service provider space as people expand out of the traditional MSP products and offerings. But what we've built is an infrastructure set of tools so that you can manage and build your own cyber range or your own cyber training environment. The two tools come from industry. One is a product called CloudShell from Quali Systems. If you've ever been to Cisco's developer network, the sandbox tool there, that is a white box label of CloudShell. So you can, if anybody wants to, they can generate a username, log in, and try out any kind of Cisco infrastructure on demand in seconds, and it's all spun up by this tool. The other tool is a very interesting tool. It's a new thing. It's a software-defined infrastructure operating system, which is pretty unique. Some guys out of the Pacific Northwest Cyber Labs for the federal government kind of came up with this idea, and it evolved over the last 10 years or so. And it's now deployed down at the DoD cyber ranges. It's deployed in some big systems integrators like Northrop Grumman. It's deployed at some of the universities like Liberty University, managing cyber exercises, cyber training environments rapidly. Think of like a live Visio diagram, except it's real stuff. It's all virtual machines, it's real connectivity, routers, switches, firewalls, applications, servers, and all in a single file. So it becomes extremely portable. You can clone it, back it up, checkpoint it, and reuse it, and spin it up and down with hyperconvergence underneath the hood so that you can rapidly give this infrastructure to a whole bunch of users with a very minimal set of hardware and software to support it.
Interesting. So what is the trend in education? Are we, in general, going to more of this virtual, hands-on type training? What are you seeing as a trend?
Well, I think because of the dynamic nature of cyber industry, basically hacking and defense and all the different sub-tasks or sub-disciplines within cyber, the complexity of a cyber environment becomes really quite involved. If you look at the smart cities thing that NIST and Soku Wei and those folks are doing in the cyber physical space, you know, building out an IoT infrastructure of a city and all the things that go onto that, that is not a trivial operation. That is a monstrous task. So we need tools that can facilitate people who are not automation engineers or who are not subject matter experts on every piece of the network to be able to still use that network and use it so that they can be a subject matter expert of their particular thing, whether it's a SCADA device, whether it's an IoT device, whether it's, you know, a smart meter on a house, or whether it's a toll gate on a flood passageway in the city of Austin that, you know, prevents a flash flood from wiping out cars that might be down in a road that's underneath the water, to a cyber attack that the National Guard has to defend at your state capitol because somebody's trying to hack into the government. I mean, these things are growing exponentially from the standpoint of what people have to do, and the problem gets too complicated, right? So We need to give them tools that anybody can use, give them easy-to-use graphical interfaces so that they can drop and drag and build stuff so that they can explore it from an architectural perspective, so they can, put it out to people in training classes so that they can, you know, understand it and use it and focus on the particular piece that's important to them as opposed to trying to learn the whole, you know, the whole cloud, if you will.
So whenever...
That's my best guess on that.
Whenever back in the day, whenever I did a lot of my training, a lot of stuff was hands-on. We had physical machines to work on. I had electronics. So many things are going to this cloud. How does that change the educational experience? Do people miss being able to put their hands on stuff? Do they not quite get the full picture because everything's virtualized?
Well, it's very interesting you say that. That's a great question. So the federal government, the Army, and the DOD has deployed the Next Generation Security Stack. It's called the Joint Regional Security Stack, JRSS. It's about $12 million of hardware appliances from all the usual suspects, Cisco, Juniper, et cetera. It's five racks of stuff. They've bought 19 of these. That's a big chunk of change, $12 million a pop. So what we've been able to do is there's 18 different vendors' products and appliances in this five-rack system. We've been able to take VMs of all of that stuff, map it all together, and build it all as a single cloud file. So now we've replicated. The user interfaces are exactly the same. You log into the same secure shells, the same VMs, the same VNC, RDP connections into these devices. You run the same application. So there is no difference because you're accessing all this equipment from a computer screen anyway. You can't tell if it's a real one or not, except for possibly the performance of it, right? But this allows us for only $2 million because these VMs cost a lot of money. They're still licensed VMs. But for substantially less dollars, we can have an exact production replica of the whole security stack. So hundreds or even thousands of people that need to train on this, to need to figure out how to protect it, to run different types of exercises, now have access to this. And you can spin it up in seconds. It's amazing how fast it is on the right hardware with flash and things underneath of it. And because our tool is hyper-converged, we can do this rapidly and across a lot of people and get people up to speed on it in no time.
Mm-hmm. So how many people have been using this so far? Do you have a lot of people doing this training?
The federal government is a slow entity. So it takes a while to roll this out. They've been in the throes of rolling it out for about 18 months or so. It's getting closer. They're going to try it out in the next exercise here that's actually just finishing up, which is one of the DISA mini flags. National Guard has done some rollouts with this. We're looking at 2018 for Cyber Shield, hopefully. We're working with a number of other big ranges. People like Northrop Grumman have already wholesale adopted it. People like Liberty University have been using it for about 3 years now to deliver their Masters of Cybersecurity class. Mm-hmm. And there's a variety of other people that are looking at it, the British Telecoms and Telstras and some of the big service providers, as well as some of the big, you know, accounting firms, the Deloitte's, Accentures, and those kinds of folks are looking at it too, because they need a tool that they can rapidly build architecture, rapidly develop a cyber range or cyber content, and get it out to people. And that's what this tool does, is now anybody who's a content manufacturer themselves, we can give them a tool that they don't have to be an automation engineer, they don't have to understand it, they can just drop and drag and build the infrastructure they need for their training support very, very easily. Mm-hmm. And that's what the professors seem to really love, is they don't have to learn, go to VMware classes, or they don't have to become an AWS expert, they don't have to add, you know, IT admin guys, they don't have to worry about the cost of spinning it up in the public cloud, because our stuff's much more cost effective as well.
Interesting. So let's take a break real quick for a sponsor break, and we'll come back in a minute. I had some questions about how do we get the hardware aspect in, because we're virtualizing everything. But give us a minute, we'll come back.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
All right, welcome back. We're talking to Chuck Reynolds from Technical Systems Integrators about a virtual training platform for virtual labs and everything. And what I was going to ask you here is, so we're training people how to do all these things in the virtual world. What do we do to get people to understand and work with how to set up this equipment in the first place? So obviously, everybody that buys all this equipment at a company somewhere, it comes in the door in a box. It's actually a physical equipment. And so many, I run into this because working at a university, so many training platforms are all virtualized. And our students come and leave these classes, leave their program and say, what does the equipment look like? What do I do when I get it in a box? How do I plug it in? That aspect becomes, we'll say, separated from the training experience.
It does. I'm not sure that we can address that with virtualization tools. I mean, I imagine you could develop content training and stuff for installation and stuff, and a lot of people, I guess, do that on their own internal websites with readmes and websites and things of that nature. So, I mean, there's the potential to do that. We haven't addressed that. The real problem has been the cost of hardware, which is extremely exorbitant, right? So mm-hmm. If you have a bunch of people that need to be trained, I mean, if you look at the actual use, let's say you bought a Cisco Catalyst switch, right? There is no difference in the virtual world and the physical world on how to use that switch, outside of the fact that you use a physical cable if it's a real thing, as opposed to you drag and drop a line on the graphical screen to simulate that actual cable. The operation of the switch, the commands of the switch, the user interface of the switch are all identical. So mm-hmm. There is no differences there. And that's what we're focused on, is how do we deliver that without the person having to have that equipment? Because, quite frankly, most of the companies and everybody that we're involved with, the major prohibitor to training is the cost of training systems. I mean, if you look at EMC and Dell, who use a lot of our software extensively, I mean, one of their big storage arrays, they have three of them in tech support or in their pre-production QA group, each one's $10 million. If they can cut down and virtualize one or two of those, what's that worth to them? Well, it's very simple. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So being able to virtualize these things is a huge deal for most people.
And I'm not knocking virtualization at all. I just that was something that I've actually been addressed with recently, and I'm like, oh, interesting. Yeah, we have virtual labs similar to what you're talking about, and the students never see anything physical. And they can go through a whole training program and exit the training program without ever having really gone through the introduction to what does the physical look like.
I'll tell you an example, though, where we have done that. So we work a lot with telecommunication resellers. These are people who buy pallets of switches from Hong Kong, China, wherever, and they have to get them in and they have to test them, right? Mm-hmm. So we've actually worked with our lifecycle management environment that allows us to put HTML-based five instructions, which have embedded videos, PowerPoints, you know, whatever kinds of things you want to do. And you can drag and drop and build this instruction set so that you could teach the person with actual videos of how to install that device. So there are ways that we can facilitate the training of the actual physical device as well. I kind of forgot to mention that, but that is a really great use case. A lot of different telecommunication resellers in the U.S. use our tool to do all the incoming inspection and tests of these devices that they buy and then put them in the inventory and resell them. Right?
Okay.
So Cisco doesn't like that they do that, but they make millions and millions of dollars a year reselling those particular, you know, switches and routers.
Mm-hmm. So you had talked earlier about like virtual cities and IoT. Do you have a simulation for something of that scale that brings in, you know, millions of devices?
We do. We've done for EMC and Hitachi Data Systems where we have, you know, several hundred thousand devices. So these tools are very scalable. They're built to be scaled across servers. The JRSS, as you can imagine, is thousands and thousands of VMs in that thing to be that size of a security stack. So one of the cool things about these tools is even though you're running this huge infrastructure, your piece of it that you're concerned about may not be the whole thing. So you can actually segment these into multiple separate clouds that talk to each other as well, so you can facilitate that across a large environment. Because if you have a cyber exercise, you might have 500 or 1,000 people in the exercise, right? So you got to facilitate them, and you don't want some penetration hacker guy seeing the whole exercise. That would be unfair advantage, right? You only give him his view or her view of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing for the protection people. They wouldn't be able to see what's going on in the red team. And now the white team, who's observing the whole thing, you want them to have access to everything. So you have to have a tool or a methodology that allows you to facilitate that, and we do that.
So okay.
One case.
I always like to hear success stories. Do you have any stories about how the industry has adopted things that you know, our listeners can take from it to get from zero to one to start looking at how do they do this training, how do they implement?
Well, I would look to two places. I would just go to Cisco's developer network and take a look at that. Every Cisco product that Cisco makes, they have a live sandbox pre-production that you can use, try out, verify, validate, and look at our tool in action. So it's a great sales tool for us, and it's a great success story. Huawei does the same thing. They came in after the fact and said, we want what Cisco has. How many zeros do we write? Right? That's kind of how that worked. The other place I might go is look at Liberty University's Masters in Cybersecurity. That's using our tool set, too, for all of their labs and infrastructures. Actually, a lot of the content was done by Jones and Bartlett as well. Those would be two, you know, customer-facing, anybody could go take a look at. The other place you can go is our website and my blog as well, if you want to take a look at some recorded videos that are educational to teach you how to go about doing this, what are the concerns, how to get started. A lot of the software that we have is available for trial. You can actually just get it going. I'll give you a really cute instance, right? So I went out to Costco and I bought myself a $200 HP notebook, 6 gig of RAM, you know, dual core AMD in it, and I've loaded up CipherPath on that, and I'm running Ixia breaking point traffic generation in a 4 gig partition, which is unheard of. But it works. It works great because of the hyperconvergence and how well this software efficiently uses that notebook computer. So you can basically start doing all your own traffic generation off a $200 Costco HP notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is pretty good. That's a pretty good way to get started.
Is this something that anybody can demo, or do you have to be an institution? What's your licensing model there?
So we start off with a community version of the CipherPath tool. Just hit our website and get registered, and you can download it and try it out. It works on a single system. It's a great way to get started. Then if you want to take a look at it later in other places, we also are making it as an offering with IBM SoftLayer. So you'll be able one day to pick it on a Bluemix thing and build your own bare metal server, basically delivering and managing your own cloud. I will say this, I mean, if you go off and try to become a VMware expert, you get about 3 weeks of training and, you know, 6 months of heavy-duty studying and work. we don't have a training class. That's how easy our tool is. You're up and running that morning developing a cyber range, which is pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these new tools have got some tremendous user interfaces to them, so you can get started quickly.
Is this something that somebody just that's not working with a company just wants to play with themselves could get a version of to play with, or is it only corp to corp?
No, we can probably allow students and people like that. As long as you register and you go on, we're kind of just coming out of stealth mode with these bigger customers, so we're looking to scale as well. So, you know, you can just hit our website. I don't know if this is the time appropriate to say it or not, but
sure.
cloudasafile.com. So it's a unique concept. I think you've heard about cyber ranges in a box. Well, who needs a box when you can do it all in a file, right? So we'll call it cyber range in a file. And if you go to the website, cloudasafile.com, you can register there and get started.
Okay. Well, this is definitely great information. I'm going to take a look at it. And I know we have been for university as well. We work with Jones and Bartlett. So we're probably actually using your tool if that's the case. I didn't know that you had that connection, but we use some of those back behind the scenes classes for labs that Jones and Bartlett offers.
That's great. Well, we look forward to working with you guys as well.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining today, and we're definitely glad to hear from you. Is there anything else you wanted to get out that might be helpful to our listeners here in closing?
I would also maybe it would be great to have people check out our blog. I try to make that a frequent place to update people on technology. I'll talk offline with you. I have a couple other folks that might be good people for you to interview as well to add to this. And then if this works out well, I'd like to come back in 6 months and talk a little bit about some new things that we've got going on that I haven't mentioned yet that we should talk about.
All right. Well, hey, great having you on the show today, and we look forward to working with you in the future. Thanks, Chuck.
Excellent, Chris. Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. Bye. The views or opinions expressed by me during this podcast are my own and are not those of my employer, Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.